Dun 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 dun. Right, hello. It's Tuesday, April the 9th, 2024. I'm here with two newspapers today. I got it from the Shell service station. They didn't have the Sydney Morning Herald. I didn't get it from my usual shop. So today I've got the Australian, which is usually my second choice, and then I've got the Daily Telegraph, which is usually my third choice. So I'm going to go through that in just a moment. But obviously, just referencing the incident last Friday where young Tobes was struck by a vehicle in his place of work while he was crouched down doing something work related, was hit by a fucking car. Well, basically a guy maneuvered in the car park and Toby ended up pretty much under the car. Thankfully, the guy did stop. Otherwise, Toby would be dead. I think there's no sort of nice way of saying it. So he's got massive laceration in his back and he's got a crushed vertebrae, which is fucking horrific. But he's going to make a full recovery. We're all very positive about that. And he's in very good hands because his dad's a doctor and his sister's a trainee nurse, and he's still in fairly chipper spirits in the text messages that he's been sending, although I haven't spoken to him since Friday. So I hope you feel better soon, Tobes. In the meantime, I'm going to carry on doing this nonsense stuff. Oh, now, in case I forget, on Friday, so our actual episode, now Toby is adamant that he is going to do at least the bonus shizzle, zizzle, 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 zizzle section this week, which is good. I don't know whether he'll be dosed up on some form of pharmaceutical opioid, I would imagine, which will be right up his alley. But what I've managed to do is I have managed to secure an interview with Ole Damegaard, which if you've been in the kind of conspiracy circles for some time, you'll know that Ole is a bit of a legend. He's like a false flag researcher, and I used to listen to and watch hours and hours of interviews and talks and presentations that he did. He's a really interesting dude, really nice bloke actually. We're going to be talking to him on Friday morning Australian time at 11:30. So we'll get that episode. So our episode for this week will be Friday, and me and Toby will have a little Zoom based nonsense chat for 45 minutes like we normally do, maybe on Wednesday or Thursday. So that'll be good. I can't wait to speak to Ollie. It'll be brilliant because as Toby would say, he will no doubt have done some research into October 7th, into obviously COVID. I haven't heard anything from him since COVID or since the start of COVID. Maybe he might have looked at the Baltimore boat thingamajig. So that's going to be on Friday. So that's quite good, isn't it? So we'll get that on the old fucking Spotify and all that other shit at the end of the week. So that's quite exciting. Right. I've got the Australian in front of me, 12 pages of nonsense. The main headline is NDIS for predator in Janine Balding killing. Bottom line is a dude, well, sort of referenced as the worst serial sex offender who was involved in the brutal 1980s abduction, rape and murder of Janine Balding, is set to be released from custody with the help of an NDIS support package. So he's going to get money from the NDIS for 8 hours of support for daily life each week. I mean, it just sounds obscene how that's happening, but the reality is he would be getting some kind of rehabilitation anyway, which would be state funded. So it's just the fact that that money will go to him to use on support rather than the government just to sign it. It sort of doesn't really make any difference, but it does make the story sound quite sick. But that's it. That's all there is to hear. I think he's going to be released. Is it in his early 50s? I can't be bothered to read it. No, I'm not going to read it. Am I going to read it? No, I'm not going to read it. Fuck him. Right, next heading. Quadmire, ALP warned on China. This is dull. I'll read three paragraphs of this and I'll probably start crying. Former Japanese ambassador Shingu Yamagami says Anthony Albanese has allowed the Quad security dialogue to languish as he repairs ties with Beijing and has revealed Labour sought to silence his criticisms of China when he was Tokyo's top diplomat in Canberra. Writing in The Australian, Mr. Yamagami laments Australia's reluctance. Oh, I can't be bothered. I mean, that's fucking dull. Front page, not interested. Capital flight risk. Labour plan short circuits. Listen to how dull this is. This is the front page of the newspaper. Now, there's a point I want to make here. I'm going to read two papers, and I want you to note how many stories are linked to killing, murder, war, sex offence, or sort of men's inability to live their life in some kind of way that has some moral backbone. In other words, they're not just fucking dirty cunts, right? Capital flight risk, Labour plan short circuits. Institutional investors bankrolling the government's renewable ambitions have warned that Australia faced a flight of capital from renewable projects due to policy risks. I can't read it because it's so boring that those sentences make me want to shut my eyes. I'm not going to read it. I don't even know what it's about. Energy wars look set to decide yet another election. The next election will be the seventh in a row where climate change and energy policy stands to be a significant, if not deciding, factor. Peter Dutton has now made sure of that. The injection of nuclear into the debate as a serious baseload option for Australia has ensured yet again that voters are forced to choose between two divergent alternatives. That's basically what that thing's about. I can't be bothered to read it. Young to put their feet up when they reach 70. A 25-year-old Australian can expect to work until the age of 70. As a more highly educated, healthier and increasingly white-collar workforce retires progressively later over the coming decades. But new analysis by KPMG shows the steep climb in the retirement age during the COVID-19 pandemic has slowed, particularly as the end of lockdowns and the reopening of borders gave older people the opportunity to restart their retirement travel dreams. KPMG urban economist Terry Rawnsley said that based on current trends, a 45-year-old woman working today would retire at 64.8 years and a man at 66.2. That was about 3 years later than 20 years ago, he said. People with higher levels of education tend to work a couple of years longer than the average, and the workforce coming through over coming years will be white collar and able to. Refugee arrivals risk swamping New Zealand deal. Refugees have been identified among unauthorised maritime arrivals to Australia for the first time since the Albanese government came to power, prompting concerns that a resettlement deal with New Zealand will not be sufficient if more people with legitimate asylum claims arrive by boat on the mainland. This is the first time in years that an unauthorised boat arrival is known to have triggered Australia's protection obligations. In the first 16 months of the Labour government, all boats known to have reached Australia waters were from Sri Lanka, meaning Australia was able to rely on a lot of that. I can't be bothered. I mean, that is on the front page of the newspaper. Something more of that Quadmire ALP one. Not interested. Sex abuse survivors paid $1.3 billion. The government has paid out $1.3 billion in redress to institutional child sexual abuse survivors, but legal services advocating for them fear an uncertain and underfunded future unless there is an urgent intervention. So basically, we've paid out $1.3 billion in compensation to survivors of institutional sexual abuse, child sex abuse, for children probably in the foster system, in the care home system. So we, the taxpayer, are paying. I mean, rightly they need compensation, but hopefully all of those fucking cunts are in jail and have had every last bit of money rinsed from them. More than 15,700 claims have been finalised, with 14,716 payments totaling approximately $1.3 billion. Okay, next heading. It's tit for tat on our army probes. Special advisor role opens door for other nations together. I don't know what that means. Living hell for hostage families 6 months on. Hang on, what? Living hell for hostage... Okay. That's a separate heading. It's tit for tat on our army probes, whatever that means. Anthony Albanese's appointment of a special advisor on Israel's killing of seven aid workers has opened the door to foreign access to Australia's own internal military inquiries, experts say. Now, bearing in mind this is the Australian, which is the pro-Israeli, it takes the pro-Israeli position. What's quite interesting here is that this is 6 columns of information, and it's actually two stories, and one's overlaid on the other. So around the outside, so there's one story that says living hell for hostage families 6 months on. So this is about the hostages, the Hamas taken hostages, Israeli hostages, right? But wrapped around that story is a story about the investigation, trying to get to the bottom of what happened in Israel when the seven aid workers were killed. I find it interesting that as a pro-Israeli paper, the story that is about investigating Israel's, essentially the history of events that happened, or the statement of events that happened when those seven aid workers were killed, that story is wrapped around, like, actually physically the design of the page has that story wrapped around a central story, which is about the hostages. So it can't even give it its own section, because it doesn't want you to read that story about Israel doing the wrong thing and absorb it properly and then give you a story about the hostages. It actually wants you to sort of not really see the story of the seven aid workers and read the story in the middle, which is the opposite. If you buy the Australian for today, you'll see what I mean. Anyway, the story on the outside says Anthony Albanese's appointment of a special advisor on Israel's killing of seven aid workers has opened the door to foreign access to Australia's own internal military inquiries, experts say. The Prime Minister said on Monday he expected former Defence Chief Mark Binskin to receive full cooperation from Israel as Australia's special advisor on its investigation into the tragedy. Mr. Albanese declined to say where the process could lead, leaving open the prospect of criminal penalties or international legal action against those responsible for killing the World Central Kitchen aid workers, including Australian Zomi Frankum. I don't want to preempt Mr. Binskin's findings. That's why we've appointed him to make recommendations to the government, Mr. Albanese told the ABC. Wollongong University International Law Professor Greg Rhodes said the appointment had set an extraordinary precedent globally that could come back to bite Australia in the future. He said international observers were typically present at war crimes trials, but not disciplinary proceedings like that being conducted by Israel. So if that is to be the maverick approach that Australia adopts, it can expect that its own future discipline reviews of ADF conduct in East Timor, Afghanistan, and Iraq will be subjected to demands by the Indonesian Iraqis. Yeah, fine. If you're going to be fucking, if the ADF are going to be cunts, then they should be held to account by the governments of fucking Indonesia, Iraq and Afghanistan. It's fucking ridiculous. So it's so pro-Israel. Well, if you're going to investigate, if you're going to send in a special person into Israel, then you're going to have to expect, I'll fucking shut your mouth, you fucking bunch of cunts. ANU International Law Professor Don Rothwell backed that view, saying other nations could use the precedent to demand similar cooperation by Australia in military probes. They turn around and say to Australia, well, look, you're being appointed a special advisor in relation to this incident in Israel. Why shouldn't we be entitled to do the same thing? Professor Rosa, he said, the government's deciding to... Well, they should, you fucking asshole, because if you're doing awful things to civilians in a war setting, you deserve to be fucking hung up, strung up in the fucking public square. It's disgusting. When Biskin was CDF, there was accidental killings by the ADF of civilians in Afghanistan. They were all dealt with, shall we say, by internal processes. Mr. J, it makes me fucking sick. All right, let's move on to another thing. Refugees risk swamping NZ deal. Continue from page one. I wasn't interested in page one. I'm not interested in page two. Hooray! Legal expert calls for lobbyist rule reforms. Constitutional expert Anne Twomey has called for lobbyists' passes to be axed and a code of conduct implemented to level the playing field for those seeking to gain political influence amid widespread calls for improve transparency. Professor Twomey said the current system, which allows lobbyists unfettered access to Parliament House if they hold a sponsored orange party. Oh, fuck, I'm not interested. Young are expected to put feet up at 17. Not interested. Lukewarm landing. Something about Qantas's loyalty programmes. Not interested. It's not news. It certainly doesn't need to be on page 3. It's fucking boring. Lerman Trawl found 4 emails. A search of this ongoing nonsense with bloody Bruce Lerman and his alleged rape of Brittany Higgins, and then the, you know, him having paying for the guy, whatever his name was, Taylor Auerbach, using the 7 credit card to pay for, well, they call it masseuses, but let's be honest, they're fucking hookers. A search of the 7 Network's email system produced 4 emails between its staff and Bruce Lerman during the more than 6 months it negotiated with him to appear on the Spotlight program, according to an affidavit sworn by the network's outgoing commercial director, Bruce McWilliam. The full affidavit was released by the federal court on Monday as lawyers waited for Judge Michael Lee to announce when he will deliver judgment in the defamation case brought by Mr. Lerman against Network 10 and Lisa Wilkinson over an interview with alleged rape victim Brittany Higgins. Justice Lee is now expected to deliver his judgment by the end of the week after being delayed last week when 10 successfully sought to reopen the case, citing fresh evidence from disaffected former 7 producer Taylor Auerbach. Auerbach alleged perks were provided to Mr. Lerman while 7 was trying to convince him to hand over his exclusive interview's rights, including reimbursing him for sex workers and illegal drugs, and admitted to charging his 7 corporate card with thousands of dollars of massages for himself and Mr. Lerman. It wasn't massages, it was getting wanked off by some fucking seedy bird in a room somewhere. It's fucking disgusting cunts. Auerbach also claimed Mr. Lerman provided Spotlight with confidential information from his criminal rape trial as part of his interview deal. Anyway, so there we go. More men that have got to see fucking prostitutes the whole time, get fucking wanked off by a stranger for money on a fucking bed somewhere. It's ridiculous. Pathetic. Men are fucking weak, pathetic, pathetic bastards. And they're in high-ranking positions in business, in high-ranking positions in politics. And we wonder why the world's fucked, because that's who's controlling it. Aussie boy in suicide tragedy after Nigerian sextortion. Police are urging parents to chat to the children about online risks after 2 Nigerian men were arrested and charged over an alleged sextortion offence that led to an Australian boy taking his own life last year. So that's basically a young boy took his own life because he fell for that stupid scam when, you know, you get sent an email saying, oh, I've recorded you on your camera, you know, looking at pornography, and I'm going to share it with all your friends. Whenever I get that, I'm like, yeah, go for it. Wicked. If anyone's interested in seeing me, I mean, my wanking game is tight. I'm always very careful with cameras. So yeah, it's a foolproof system that I'm involved in. It's brilliant. So yeah, so if you get a thing on your email saying that someone's caught you wanking in front of your computer, just say, yeah, okay, no worries, it's not real. And even if it is real, who cares? Everyone does a bit of wanking. Just some people don't. I remember when I was younger once, I'm going to share this story because it is quite funny. Younger, like I was in my sort of mid-teens, I remember watching a dirty movie on the television. Remember when we used to have videotapes in the video cassettes? You know, you had a video cassette in a machine and it used to go... We used to rewind it. I waited till my parents went out and walked the dog, and I thought, I'm just going to go and have a little look at that. I was in a sort of compromised position on the couch. You know, obviously, I'd sort of slightly derobed. And then about 10 minutes later, I heard a knock on the window. And my dad was peering in with his sort of, you know, like when you put your sort of your hands, you know, up to your face and peer through glass. That's what he was doing. It's terrible. It's very embarrassing. And then I had from when I knew, I thought he was a long way away because it was right at the other end of the room and I was in the dark, so maybe I got away with it. And I thought, I've got until he gets to the back door to get the cassette out of the video and to kind of zip up and do all that sort of stuff. So I thought that's quite a funny story. My wife will be devastated that I've shared that, but that's the reality of it. Don't worry if you get a scam email saying someone's caught you wanking, because they haven't. Sex partners, Oz's second, Turks on top. This is in the newspaper basically says that Australia is second only to Turkey in the amount, average amount of sexual partners that they've had. Not interested. Now, this is quite interesting. This says Christian texts set to fetch a call 8.7 million. So I thought, well, that's interesting, isn't it? What's this? A church is sending text messages and it's going to fetch 8.7 million. I couldn't work it out, but actually it's about an old sort of Bible that's going to be auctioned at Christie's. So anyway, something about a horse called Winx. Not interested. So a supermarket hit could rock us all. A leading business group has warned of unintended consequences from making a supermarket code of conduct mandatory. Not interested. Supermarket code of conduct. Not interested. Husic, no profit in bashing business. Federal Industry and Science Minister Ed Husic. That's all I need to read. I don't need to read anymore because I'm not interested. Rate hikes hit US. Oh. Rate hikes hit us harder than anywhere else. Rate hikes hit Australian households harder than anywhere else in the world, the International Monetary Fund says, justifying the Reserve Bank's decision to not push interest rates as high as in other developers. Quick day, I'm starting to get tired. Woolworths wants tougher rules to apply to its global rivals. Basically, Woolworths wants tougher rules to apply to its global rivals. Move over boomers. Millennials have become the new landlord generation. Basically, millennials are buying up property more than boomers. Great. Capital flight risk, power shortfalls, Labour's renewables blueprint short circuits. Continue from page one. I wasn't interested on page one. Not interested anymore. LNP cashes in on Miles promotion. Listen to this first paragraph and then you'll understand why I'm not going to read any more of it. Stephen Miles' elevation as Premier of Queensland has been a boon for opposition leader David Crisafulli's electoral war chest, with the Liberal National Party raising five times as much money as Labour since Mr. Miles' December swearing in. I'm going to read the second paragraph. Donation records reveal the LNP has raked in... Fucking come on, brain. Let's start again. Donation records reveal the LNP has raked in 1.625 million in less than 5 months since Mr. Miles replaced former Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk. Compared to Labour's 295,000 in that period. I don't understand how you can donate to a government party and what are you getting out of it? What do you get back for your money? Libs may move to expel dumped MP. Can't read, it's too boring. Lambies want bolstered FOI and an ICAC. Jackie Lambie, network MPs have offered confidence and supply to Tasmania's minority Liberal government in exchange for accountability. I can't read it. Agency spruce senators poll event. Not interested, it's so dull. Solar fire risks make farmers uninsurable. It's basically saying that farmers who do run a it's going to make their farms hard to insure, because it says that if we start an accidental fire, which can start from hay, combustion, chainsaw, slashers, pumps, so many factors, then we are liable for replacement, cleanup, and loss of income for the solar factory. And that's if solar factories are set up next to big farming properties. Museum restructure to curb Indigenous repatriations. Not interested. Last sighting of Aussie couple caught in quake. Basically, a Singaporean Australian couple that were missing in Taiwan. There's some CCTV footage of them going into a national park before the earthquake. They haven't been found. Not really relevant to us. Gamer out to settle a score over cheating. Basically, a guy who holds the world record for Donkey Kong score is suing an Australian YouTuber over accusations he cheated to achieve the arcade record. It's not news. It's boring as bullshit. And then there's something about Liam Hemsworth, who's building a $14.6 million mega home near Byron Bay, which is actually going to be in... Where was it going to be? It won't mean anything to anyone. Newrybar, that's right. Newrybar's a nice little area close to Byron. Not really interested, though, in his house. Private school leader facing 10 years in jail. A former vice captain of a prestigious private school is facing up to 10 years in prison after pleading guilty to helping his father So basically, his father murdered somebody, buried him, and I think the son is going to get maybe 10 years in prison for helping to cover that up. listen to this, right? This is in a pro-Israeli newspaper. And listen to this. So this is about the terrible things that Russia is doing to the Ukraine, right? This is a pro-Israeli paper saying how terrible the things are that Russia are doing to the Ukraine. For some reason, though, I'm not seeing any information about the terrible things that Israel is doing to the Palestinians. But let's just read this and see if there's any comparison. Hours after the nightly rain of bombs had fallen on Kharkiv, the regional governor stood outside a partially destroyed apartment block. Russia is targeting these places where people live because they're trying to strike terror into civilians, Oleh Sinyubov said. The bombing was worse than at any time since President Vladimir Putin's forces besieged the city 2 years ago, he said. The invaders were driven back from Kharkiv in the first year of the war, but it is now all too clear that the latest strategy for capturing Ukraine's second city is to simply blast it into submission. Indeed, Vladimir Solovyov, the Kremlin's propagandist in chief, declared during a national broadcast last week, Kharkiv should be wiped from the face of the earth. Since February, the civilian population has been subjected to daily missile strikes and drone attacks, with energy infrastructure and residential buildings the primary targets. Dozens of villages in the region, which borders Russia, have had to be evacuated after heavy shelling. As a result, 526,000 people, one in five in Kharkiv and its surrounding, are classed as internally displaced persons. On Saturday, 8 people were killed and 10 injured when missiles struck residential buildings and a petrol station to the northeast of the city. As many as 30 Shahed drones hit on Thursday morning, killing 4 people, 3 of whom were rescue workers who died in a double strike on a residential building after they arrived to provide help. Kharkiv's proximity to the Donetsk Basin and its position at the centre of a network of railways means it holds enormous strategic value. Only 40 k's from the Russian border, its capture would enable Moscow to encircle Ukrainian forces in Donbass. Independent Russian publication Vertska says the Kremlin is planning to mobilize 300,000 soldiers for a new offensive against the city in the coming months. President Vladimir Zelensky insisted on Saturday that Kharkiv is not in danger, but added that the Russians... Anyway, right? That's just basically explained exactly what Israel's doing to the Palestinians. We're supposed to read that and think that Russia's terrible whilst reading a pro-Israeli paper. Musk in standoff over free speech. He's still in a standoff over free speech. Been in a standoff over free speech for about 12 months. Something about a young French boy called Emile. They found the bones of him in France. It's not relevant to us at all. Quito to face international court complaint. The rift between Mexico and Ecuador deepened on Saturday after the former said it would file a complaint at the International Court of Justice following the raid on its embassy in Quito. Not interested. Something about cowards failed Rwanda. Don't care. Truce closer at Tel Aviv eyes Rafah assault. Talks in Cairo towards a Gaza truce and hostage release deal have made significant progress as Israel keeps up the pressure, warning that it's ready for future military operations against Hamas. The army said on Sunday it was preparing for an assault on Gaza's far southern city of Rafah, the last area so far spared of ground invasion. Israel pulled its forces out of southern Gaza and the main city there, Khan Yunis, allowing large numbers of displaced Palestinians to return to the devastated urban area. Defence Minister Yoav Gallant stressed that the aim was for Israeli forces to prepare for future missions, including in Rafah on the Egyptian border. The Israeli Defence Forces said it had pulled back units to recuperate and prepare for further operations. A significant force led by the 162nd Division and the Nahal Brigade continues to operate in the Gaza Strip. Bloody, 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 blah. It smells like death, the return to devastation. That's talking about people that are going back to Gaza after the destruction. Israel ready for war on the Lebanon border. So that's nice. The Israeli army says it has reached another phase of preparation for war on its northern border with Lebanon, where it has spent months exchanging fire with Iran-backed Hezbollah militants. Why don't you just say with Hezbollah militants? Why do you have to say Iran-backed Hezbollah militants? Because they want you to think that Iran is the next bogeyman. Hezbollah generally targets Israeli positions close to the border and says it's doing so in support of Hamas militants. So Hezbollah generally targets Israeli positions close to the border and it says it's doing so in support of Hamas militants. Could it be doing it in support of Palestinian civilians, perhaps, do you think? Who have been at war with Israel in the Gaza Strip since the Hamas attack on October the 7th. Israel has increasingly carried out deeper strikes into Lebanese territory and has also targeted commanders from Hezbollah. It's also stepped up strikes against Hezbollah and other Iran-linked targets in Syria, including an airstrike last Monday against Iran's embassy consular section in Damascus. Something about fucking some company suing a someone suing some company that made a jigsaw with the old Da Vinci Vitruvian Man design. It's on a puzzle and someone wants some fucking royalties to it. Is there nothing else going on in your life where you want to sue someone for royalties over a fucking Da Vinci image? Something about Manila, Tokyo and US defence not interested. That's the end of the Australian 28 minutes. Quickly, the Daily Telegraph. Big article on the daughter of a legendary horse race... No, a legendary racehorse, Winx. So the daughter of legendary racehorse, Winx. Okay. Sold for a world record $10 million in an emotional and drama-packed auction at Warwick Farm yesterday. Front page is about a horse. Cheaper fuel worth a drive. Motorists urged to shop around as petrol prices surge ahead of school holidays. Does it really make a massive difference where you get your petrol from? I think the whole, you know, oh, save a couple of cents here because you've shopped at a shop. It's a con. As are the rewards things where you can save up for 7 years and end up with enough to get a fucking, I don't know, a small frying pan. I just can't be bothered with it because I know no one's giving me anything for free. Sydney ready to strut stuff on big screen. Something about Ryan Reynolds movie. Ryan Reynolds, I mean, I'm so cynical about everything, miserable about anything, everything, but Ryan Reynolds is just fucking the most average Bodman McBodman that I've ever seen. Something about that really boring story about the police commissioner Karen Webb and the taxpayer spending more than $700,000 to fire forehead spin dogs. I'm not interested. PM has no idea about boat arrivals, don't care. Something about an Australian guy called Donald Trump, who's got the same name as the president, doesn't need to be in the paper. Something about Bruce Lerman. Something about... Oh, it says, frustrated police are urging Aussie parents to get their kids into sport or part-time jobs to avoid the scourge of youth crime, as social media giant Meta defends accusations it is responsible for glamorising a life of crime. Yeah, I mean, surely the problem is, right, bad parenting is the root cause of every single problem on the planet. Comes down to how you parent your child or children, unfortunately. So if you're abusive to your children, they'll grow up to be abusers most of the time, or at least have some kind of mental issue. If you fucking spoil them, if you don't discipline them, turn up to be fucking spoilt little cunts, expectant little cunts that expect the world to give them something. So parenting, I believe, is the root cause of every single one of the world's ills. Something about horse racing still can't be bothered. Oh, this is brilliant. Oh, so it's good. I'm just going to put a call out to all the listeners out there. Make sure you get your flu jab. Get the jab as flu arrives early. The official start to flu season is still more than a month away, but experts are urging all Australians to roll up their sleeves and get vaccinated. Flu cases have been rising steadily around the country in recent weeks, pointing to an early start to the season, which typically begins in mid-May. Combined with low vaccination rates, experts fear a potentially tough few months. A total of 32,485 cases have been confirmed in Australia so far this year, compared to 18,584 in the first. I mean, if you get the flu, who's going and telling somebody? If you get the flu, I just stay at home. I feel ill for about a week and then I'm back to normal again. Who's going, well, I must go and get tested for the flu? Only 28% of children aged 6 months to 5 years received a vaccine last year, 16% of 5 to 15 year olds, and 22% of 15 to 50 year olds among the others. Yeah, because we all know after 3 years of being lied to that they're just a waste of time. That's a boring story, I'm not going to read it. Tradie woes to hit home. The plummeting number of apprentices and school leavers studying trades will cripple the Minns government's plan to build 75,000 homes a year, a peak housing body has warned. So there's not enough tradies coming through to be able to deliver the housing that the New South Wales Premier has declared he wants. Can't be bothered to read that. Ex-WAG appeals jail term. It's not news about some bird who dated a rugby league player. Who was it? I can't remember. Josh Reynolds. She was kind of embezzling money from a firm where she was, I don't know, working as a receptionist or something. Oh, NRL takes a stand. Sex assault drugs means no 300 game honour for Jennings. Michael Jennings, good rugby league player. Of course, he's now undergoing, he's got issues, sexual assault and drugs related charges. Great. Something about a bikie shot dead. dead somewhere, couldn't give a fuck. Rapper in knife threat charges, couldn't give a fuck. Something about farmers saying, can you drop the dam level? Like a farmer that makes turf is saying, can they drop the dam level so that floods don't, so that it's eases flood risks. Nearly half on board with self drives. Almost half Australians have a positive view of self driving cars. I don't. I'm in the other 50%. 50 million jackpot draw tonight on Oz Lotto. That's worth putting in the newspaper. Boring. Surf cops arresting rides. Something about a story about, I don't know, a cop that paddled down the Tweed River on a surfboard to arrest somebody. Stench of death in Gaza. Russia has said a Ukraine drone attack hit the Moscow-controlled, unpronounceable Russian name, nuclear power plant, as the International Atomic Energy Agency urged restraint on both sides. Great. Food and stuff. Sadly, school sex shame is not a limited example. The furor surrounding South Australia's Renmark High School, where year nine students were given a lesson. Listen to this. The furor surround. Basically, there was a school in Adelaide where year nine students were taught by a third party consultant that came into the school, and they were given a lesson about bestiality, incest, and shown graphic images of transgender surgery. I mean, that's fucking weird, isn't it? Some stuff about businesses I don't think you're interested in. You know, this company's bought this company. This ASIC have dropped an inquiry about that company. Oh, this company's snapped up another company. Not interested. What have we got on tonight? I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here at 7:30 on Channel 10. And that's the end of it. What a load of shite. So, Friday, 11:30 a.m., I will be hosting a call with Ole Damegaard, and hopefully the young Tobes will be logging in, or at least we'll definitely talk to him on Wednesday or Thursday. Thanks for listening. See you later. Yeah, bye.